welcome to our Wednesday night service. Please take your green hymnals, find a green hymnal. You can turn to hymn 184. 184 might be a little bit newer to some of you, but hymn 184, what words can I find to tell Jesus I love him because he first loved me? Hymn 184 in the green hymnals. Let's stand, please, as we sing. Hymn 184 in the green hymnals, O come, let us magnify Jesus together, for praise becometh thee. O stanza, hymn 184, it says, there may never my praises be slow or be silent. And how we should always be ready to praise the Lord, how good he has been to us. On that third stanza. Open up with a word of prayer. Tim Turner, could you open some prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful that we can be in your house on this Wednesday night, that we can spend time in prayer. Lord, we ask that your hand would be upon tonight, that we would really seek you, and Lord, for these requests that we have, and for the fasting that goes on Wednesday, and Lord, we seek for your blessing, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, do we have, I don't know if we have any missionary letters tonight.
All right, we will go to our next hymn then. Hymn 416 in the screen hymnals again. 416. Hymn 416, A Call for Loyal Soldiers Comes to One and All Soldiers for the Conflict. Will you heed the call? Will you be a volunteer for Jesus? 416.
A call for loyal soldiers comes to one and all. Soldiers for the conflict, will you heed the call? Will you answer quickly with a ready cheer? Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? A volunteer for Jesus, a soldier too. Others have enlisted.
Have a sign-up sheet. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? Thank you to all those that already volunteered to bring things for the men's breakfast. There's only one slot left on that sign-up, but there's another sign-up for the men's breakfast, and that's for cleanup. And all those that help with cleanup is a very important job, and maybe sometimes it's the most boring job. But we do have some slots here. We could use some people to help with cleanup, so we will send that around. And also there's still the CPR certification classes. There's still some slots available. If you would like to learn CPR, it can be a great blessing. You never know when you might need it. That's coming up here. There's the 16th, the 25th, the 23rd, and the 25th. And you can see the times there on the list. So we'll go ahead and send those signups around. All right, we will do have some prayer requests at this time. I'm not sure what time Pastor's going to be here, but my mom was being released from the hospital. I think most of you probably know about what happened, but she had some heart rhythm problems, and her heart was beating real fast, so they took her to St. Luke's yesterday, and anyway, just kept her overnight, and she had an electrocardiologist exam today, and anyway, she has an operation they're going to, I believe, schedule for her, a heart oblation, so it'll help restore the rhythm in her heart, so you can be praying for her. We have a number of people. It's good to see Mrs. Tabor here tonight and continue to pray for her recovery. And do you have an update on your dad, Aaron? Or
If you could just pray for a situation that developed. They found out that he wasn't vaccinated, so now they're making him get quarantined for 10 days at this rehab hospital, which is terrible because that was the whole purpose of being there, was to get work done and help him. So, unfortunately, it sounds like they were giving him all of his meds at one time, going into the room at one time, and then, you know, leaving him a lot longer. So we're looking at other options or seeing what we can do to change that. But just pray for Lord's will to be done.
Okay. Pray for that. All right. Yeah, just keep continuing. Also, Mrs. Kostritz can send out an email about her back and knee, I think it was. The pain was getting beyond the point of bearing it, and so they went to the emergency room, I believe, or urgent care over here in Maquoneago. So pray for Mrs. Kostritz and that they would be able to get kind of figure that situation out and get it under control. All right, pray for Mike. You leave on your trip
Monday,
and the Bennetts leave tomorrow. So pray for their safety as they travel. And they can be a blessing in their travels. Remember this Saturday, pray for the men's breakfast. Just pray for the Lord to work. Use the last one and just pray that God would draw many men here. And just pray for a soul to be saved through that men's breakfast. We need the Lord's power in that men's breakfast. And just be in special prayer for that. There's Kids Club on Friday night. Don't forget to pray for Kids Club and just for the Lord to be working in the children's lives and to be working in the parents' hearts of those children that come on Kids Club. Remember to be praying for the Bible studies on Thursday and on Friday. And remember to be continuing to pray for the UW ministry. We'll probably hear some requests as we go along tonight. All right, who would like to be first tonight? Brianna.
Heather Swinson asked me to give a request for her. She had a Bible study with her friend Brooklyn on Monday, and she said it went well, and they have another one planned for next Monday, so pray for her salvation.
Okay. All right, Mrs. Tabor.
I have my next treatment this Tuesday, and just pray it doesn't go like the last one. I do have to get labs done every Tuesday, and just hope I keep my numbers up and strength up.
Okay. Yes, Jessica.
Just two men for the men's breakfast for Wyatt. He's been inviting Kyle to every men's breakfast. It's a friend of his who really needs to be saved, but he hasn't really shown an interest in coming, and this time the door was kind of like possibly he'd come. So pray for him. And then also Glenn in our neighborhood.
Okay.
Within the last month or two, he had a near-death experience because of his diabetes. So his eyes have really been open to more spiritual truth, but he's still confused.
Okay, yeah, pray especially for Glenn there. Okay, Paul.
Pray for a man named Aaron. That he'd come to the men's breakfast. It seems like a real open door there. And then a man named Josh, he came to the last one, pray that he would return. And then out of the blue, last night, a gentleman called me that I had a connection with and called, and it was a very short conversation, but he just thanked me for caring about him. So pray that the door would open up there and we even further, and we could talk to him about more spiritual things.
Okay. All right. Yes, Micah.
I have the opportunity to go out to lunch with two of my cousins this Saturday. So they're both very secular. So I pray that I'd be able to witness to them some, and just that they'd be open.
Okay. All right. Yes, David.
My family was at a birthday celebration for my grandma, and they came back, and my family and a lot of the extended family came down with some sort of sickness. So there's a bunch of sickness going around in our family and extended family right now. So.
Okay. Yes.
If you could pray for two friends of mine that are both Wells Lutheran, for me to be able to witness to them. Okay. The subject of baptism came up recently for the first time between us, and it's just sort of a complicated situation, but just pray that their hearts would be open to the truth and that I would know how to answer some of their questions.
Okay. All right, Mrs. Rain.
Just pray for an ER nurse that I gave a tract to and had a short time of testimony with her. She was busy, but she was very happy to receive the tract, and I don't know her name, but pray that she and other people there at the ER would read it.
Okay. All right, who do we have on this side? Oh, Luke.
Pray for a man named Tom that I've witnessed to before, and I'm planning to invite him tomorrow to the men's breakfast. He lives in East Troy, so Pray that he'd come.
All right, and it's coming with Jason, and I have if you could pray for a man named Doug. He called me the other day and was able to invite him to the men's breakfast. Pray that he would come. Yes, Jason.
An unspoken, then also our COVID tests. Pray those would come back negative. And then last, Heather's longtime friend had her biopsy for the pathology for cancer. Just pray for the Lord Jesus' trial for his glory.
Okay. All right, yes, Mr. Kusick.
If you could pray for John, and if you want to mail him a letter, you could see me afterwards and get a snail mail address.
Okay.
Pray for the funeral Friday for Bill. Marianne's taking this very hard.
Okay, pray for the Henningfeld family and for Karen and Rick, and just pray for that situation. All right, anyone else tonight? Okay, we will do some more announcements then. Just be careful with children playing after church. Just remind your children that you need to have an adult supervising you. So when playing downstairs. So if you're going to play downstairs, make sure there's an adult that is supervising you. And whenever you get balls or if you're different things, make sure you put them away once you are done, and don't use any of the teacher's items from the classrooms. The Sweethearts Banquet is Monday, February 13th, and the deadline for registering for that is this Sunday, February 5th. So if you have some people that you've invited that you know they're coming, if you can make sure you put their names on the sign-up sheet, and then also if you could have that payment in by Sunday evening. So if you know anyone else that you know is coming, that you've invited, if you can get them signed up by this Sunday evening, and then also bring the payment for that. We do have our family day coming up March 19th. So as you think about that, think ahead. You can be inviting families out for that day this year. This year we once again have Dr. S.M. Davis coming for family day. So you can be inviting and using that as an outreach event on March 19th. Let's see if there's anything else. I think that is it for the announcements. You can take your blue hymnals and turn to hymn 346.
and 346, and may this be, you know, the prayer of our own heart. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. Hymn 346. Teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. Thou art my pattern day unto day. Thou art my surety, now and always. Teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. Living in thee, Lord, and thou in me. Passing of high. As we go to prayer tonight, don't forget the goals for the church, you know, for those 45 souls. Obviously, that's a work of God that has to happen. That's not something, you know, we can do. That's something that God has to do. We need His power for that. And for those 50 people coming to the church and those 15 tithing units, and if that's going to ever take place, we need God's help. So remember that as we go to prayer. And remember our missionaries as they labor for the Lord on the mission field. All right, Mr. Zavala, could you lead us in prayer for the offering?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for bringing us here to worship you tonight, Father. Father, we're very thankful for the many blessings you've given us. Lord, we pray for those among us who are very sick with self-complication. Pray that you comfort them and take care of them. Lord, we ask that you bless this offering, bless the giver. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Praise the Lord. And trust that we can look to God and trust him and praise him for the things he's going to be doing yet this year in 2023. Can turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1 or Psalm 1. What are the keys to happiness? Keys to happiness. Sure, there are many books written on happiness, how to have true happiness. The Bible provides some simple decisions that we can make to be happy in life. And it's very plain, very simple. And life is full of choices. We are always making choices. I think Pastor just a couple weeks ago talked about that. I don't like to make decisions. And he says, well, you're always making decisions. You make decisions about everything in your daily life, whether it's to buy a car or to make a down payment on something and to make payments. There's choices we make all the time. Life is full of choices. And why don't we stand and read Psalm 1 together? It's good to give attendance to reading, as 1 Timothy talks about. Psalm 1 all together. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. All throughout the Psalms and Proverbs, you see this contrast between the righteous, the ungodly, the righteous and the ungodly, all throughout as you read the Psalms and Proverbs. And this passage is pretty clear. There's a person who walks not in the counsel of the world, and there's a person who walks in the counsel of God. And really, it's plain and simple what this passage is saying, but who doesn't want to live a life that is blessed, that is successful? And the message tonight is really just kind of going to go through this passage and hopefully keep it simple and just highlight some of the key important truths in this passage. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that you would just bless our time now as we look into your word. We pray that you would just speak to our hearts, and may we see Jesus Christ, who is the word, tonight in this passage, and may we be drawn closer to you. And may it be a challenge and a help to each one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Blessed. That word blessed or blessed is translated happy in many other parts of the scripture. And really that's what that word means. It means happy. Another word I think of when I think of the word blessed or blessed is contented. Joyful. Someone who is blessed is someone that is content. Someone that's blessed is someone that's joyful. And it's something that it just comes out of them when they're blessed. And we see that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. In order, the first key to happiness is choose not to do something. We must choose not to do something. And sometimes we don't like negative decisions or decisions that say, hey, don't do this. But really the first key to happiness, to joy, to contentment, is we have to choose not to do something. And we have to choose not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And we can receive ungodly counsel from anyone who is telling us to do something other than the Word of God. And people communicate in many different ways. People could communicate through counsel, through advice they give us. And really, counsel is advice when they give us advice. But counsel can also be given by a look that someone gives. Counsel can also be given by someone's reaction to a certain situation or to a decision that we might make. How they react is counsel. And we are not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, in the counsel of anyone who is going to take us away from our relationship with God. Anyone that seeks to draw a division between those people of God and ourselves. We cannot walk in the counsel of the ungodly. This could be someone who is saved or someone who is unsaved. Saved people can give ungodly counsel. If we're not yielded to the Holy Spirit, that can easily happen. If we're living in the flesh, or if someone is living in the flesh, living a carnal life, they can easily give counsel that is ungodly. And we are not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Walking has that idea of fellowship. Fellowshipping with someone. You're walking with someone. You're fellowshipping with them. You're spending time with them. And we have to, as this verse says, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. But if you are walking with people that are discouraging you from your walk with God, that is going to take you away from your relationship with God. And you will not have true happiness. You will not be blessed by God. But if I choose to walk with people that are going to take me further away from God and take me away from that having a genuine relationship with God, then we're not going to see that true happiness, that true joy, that true contentment in our life. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. This is could be one of the harder choices in our life. Who are we going to walk with? And the first key to living that blessed life is by choosing not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And if we want to have that life that is truly blessed and truly fulfilled, it means that we're going to have to make choices not to walk with certain people. Not to walk in certain places where the influence and counsel of the ungodly is. And Proverbs talks a lot about this, but we'll get to it later on in the verse. For walking in the counsel of the ungodly, we're going to fail. We're going to fall. And later on in this verse, it talks about sitting in the seat of the scornful. We know the scornful are giving advice. They're saying, don't listen to the people in your life that are seeking to give you godly counsel. Or don't listen to those godly friends that you have. They don't know what they're talking about. And they mock truth. And we have to choose not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We see that first king. Turn over to 1 Kings real quickly. 1 Kings chapter 12. We have King Rehoboam, who is the son of Solomon. And he was faced with a decision to make. You know, every person has counselors. Every person has people that give advice. 1 Kings 12, verse 8. And King Rehoboam had been given counsel by the old men, who said to treat the people with respect. Don't increase their burden. And if you do this, people will accept you. And the young men gave the opposite counsel to the old men. And what did he do in verse 8? But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him and said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day as the king had appointed, saying, come again to me. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him and spake to them after the counsel of the young men. King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men, the men that were wise, and went along with the counsel of those who he grew up with. Now, King Rehoboam here is probably an adult or young adult at this point, but he chose the advice of those that he grew up with. We may have to go against the advice of our friends or those that we grew up with if we're going to choose to follow God. Walking not in the counsel of the ungodly may mean that we have to go against the counsel of those who grew up with, counsel of the friends. Now, if we have good, godly friends, praise the Lord, that are seeking to challenge us to go forward. But we may have to make that hard choice to go against the counsel of those we grew up with and go with the counsel of those who are experienced, who have walked with God, and who know God. We may have to choose to be different in that way. So we must choose not to do something, and that choice is not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. It's a purposeful choice. We also must not stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. This is someone who is standing in the way. They're putting themselves in a position where they're standing in the way of sinners. Someone that comes to mind is Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. They were camping around the city, I believe it was Shechem. And Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, went in to the city. And when she saw the lifestyle of the people in the city, of the women in the city, what happened? She fell prey to one of the men of the city. She decided to walk in the way of sinners. And she decided to stand in the way of sinners. And she faced the consequences dearly. And Jacob's family, through all that whole situation, suffered in a horrible way. When we decide to stand in the way of sinners, we will face consequences. They're negative consequences at that. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Think of Lot, who vexed his righteous soul with the lifestyle of the wicked. You can turn over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Second Peter 2 and verse 7. 2 Peter 2:7. Demonstration of someone who put themselves, who stood in the way of sinners. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation or lifestyle of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. When we stand in the way of sinners, we're seeing things and we're hearing things that are going to negatively influence our walk with God. And when we stand in the way of sinners, we are seeing and hearing things that are going to take us away from that place of joy, that place of happiness. The Bible says the pleasures of sin are only for a season. You may be in some sort of sin because you have placed yourself in the way of the ungodly. You have stood in the way of sinners. But you will face the consequences of those sins. Lot surely did. Lost his family. Didn't have a godly seed. Didn't have a godly heritage with his family. And that's not something that we want to leave on this earth. But you know what? In order to have that true happiness, we must not stand in the way of sinners. Otherwise, we will see and we will hear and our righteous soul will be vexed from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So we must not stand in the way of sinners. Also, we must not sit in the seat of the scornful. Sit in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now this has the idea, there's maybe a couple different ways you could think about this, but this has the idea of fellowship. Or it could also have the idea of someone, you're sitting in that seat of the scornful, you're listening to someone's advice they're giving to you. It could be someone that you're learning from, but we can't be sitting in the seat of the scornful. You're taking time to sit down and spend time with a scorner. Don't do it. It will be a detriment to your soul and to your walk with God. Now, someone who scorns the principles of God's word that are taught at this church and other godly churches, that ought not to be people that we desire to hang out with or that we place ourselves in fellowship with. It's a decision that I have to make. You know, there's lines that we have to draw. Places we won't go. People we won't walk with. People and places we don't go to. Also, those that sit in the seat of the scornful. You know what? We can't be sitting in that place where we're listening to the scorning of the principles of God's word. It will hurt our soul and our happiness. Psalm 119 in verse 1. Psalm 119 in verse 1 says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart." Blessed, happy are the undefiled in the way. What a blessing it is when we can say, you know what, I'm not defiled with the way of the world. I'm not defiled with the filth of the world. I am going to walk, and I want to walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed or happy are they that keep his testimonies. This is sometimes a decision of faith. You might think, this isn't going to make me happy, or this might make me miserable. But when you embrace that decision, and your delight is in the law of the Lord, and you want to seek him with their whole heart, you will be happy. You will be blessed. So we have to choose not to do something. But besides choosing not to do something, the key to this blessed life or this happy life is found also in the contrast in verse 2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." We must choose to delight in God's word. What does that word delight mean? As you think about that word delight, what is something that you delight in? Psalm 42 has a great picture of this word delight. What does it mean to delight in God's word? This is gives the idea of delight. Psalm 42, 1 and 2. "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" But this idea of the hart or the deer panting after the water brooks, all you can think about is that drink of water that you need. When you're out working on a hot summer day, you're sweating, and maybe you don't have any fresh water around you. I've been in that situation before where even a gross water bottle of plastic water bottle that's been sitting in a truck is nourishing to your body. Even if it's been warm, sitting there for 2 weeks, you may not have chosen it at any other time, but at that point in time, you need water. That's all you can think about. I don't know if anyone else has been in that situation. Doesn't taste the greatest, but it's nourishing to the soul. And that's when you're thankful you didn't throw off that bottle. But as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Can we say that about God's word? I am panting after God's word. When we're panting after God's word, it's because we want to know God better. God's word gives us a picture into the mind of God. What does God want for us? And this is something that is a positive response, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Is your delight in the law of the Lord? Do you desire to get into God's word every morning just as much as you desire that hot cup of coffee, that freshly brewed cup of coffee in the morning? Do you desire God's word as much as you desire that cold can of Mountain Dew? Some of you. Do you delight in getting out on the golf course that first time of the season after the snow melts, the grass is starting to grow, and you're looking forward to it? Do you delight in God's word and take pleasure in it as much as you love doing that? Something that you desire. And notice, for me, unless it's Folgers coffee, you know, it doesn't take me much to enjoy a cup of coffee. It's something that I look forward to. It's something that, wow, this is great. Great to fellowship over a cup of coffee. But is that how much you desire God's word? Man, nothing is going to keep me from it. I love it so much. I want it. You look forward to it every morning. That should be our desire. Delight in God's word. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And true happiness is going to come when we're delighting in God's word. When we're letting it come into our heart, into our life, influence our daily decisions, guide us. That is what this verse is talking about. You don't care about what God's word says. You're going to receive it. No matter what it says to do, you're going to do it. Not only do you desire it, but it says, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Where are you at tonight? Are you meditating on it day and night? I know this can be a challenge. You know, we might read God's word in the morning, but make sure we are meditating on it all throughout the day. There might be things you have to do to meditate on God's word throughout the day. Maybe it's putting sticky notes or writing God's word down and putting it in your pocket, putting it in your lunchbox so you can pull it out at work time, setting a reminder on your phone with a Bible verse. Different ways you can choose to meditate on God's word. One way is when you're reading God's word in the morning. Find that verse that you can, don't leave God's word without finding a truth that God has spoken to your heart about and that you can take with you the rest of your day. Choose to meditate on God's word. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy law, the word of God should be like a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And if we're not delighting in God's word, we're going to be stumbling and falling all over the place. We must have God's word in our life. You can either choose to walk in the way of in the counsel of the ungodly. You can choose to sit in the seat of the scornful. You can choose to stand in the way of sinners. Those are all choices that we make. Or we can delight in the law of the Lord. We can meditate on it day and night. What is the consequences? Verse 3. Who doesn't want this? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now when you're growing trees or plants, one of the worst things to see is to start seeing leaves that turn brown. And guess what? Once they turn brown, you almost pass the point of no return. Once they turn brown. Once needles start turning brown on an evergreen, you're reached the point of no return. There's no way of saving that tree or that bush. God's word is something we need on a daily basis. And when we choose to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, we say, yeah, you know what? It's okay. A little bit here and there. It's all right if I keep fellowship with those who are going against the way and direction of godly people, that's okay. Well, as soon as we make that decision, we're going to start to wither. But if we delight in the law of the Lord, in His Word, meditate on God's Word, we will be like that tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. In judgment day, you will not stand. God's word will stand. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Why would we as Christians choose to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, choose to stand in the way of sinners, choose to sit in the seat of the scornful, when we know what their end is, what the end of those people are? The way of the ungodly will not stand in the way of judgment. They're not going to be there in heaven. They're not going to be with Christ worshiping Him for eternity. Why would we even listen to what they have to say? We need to choose to delight in the law of the Lord. You know, at the beginning of this year, we were challenged to read God's Word. And some of us were challenged to, last year, we had many different Bible reading plans. My question for us is our delight in God's Word at the end of this year? Are you going to be able to give a testimony that you stayed faithful in reading God's Word? Was your delight in the Word of God, or was it in something else? There aren't two choices. It's either delighting in God's Word and meditating on God's Word. And if we're not doing that, then we're standing in the way of sinners. We're walking in the way of the ungodly. We're standing in the way. We're sitting in the seat of the scornful. And in the testimony time, I know we had some testimonies of, I didn't make it all the way through my Bible reading plan. Or we had some that said, yes, I made it all the way through. And that was a blessing. And last year I did not quite make it all the way through my plan that I had picked. But you know, I'm like, I don't want that to happen again this year. And so I had to make a conscious decision and figure out a way that I would faithfully read God's Word and make it a priority in my life. And whatever that way is, figure out a way and be determined. I am not going to let God's Word take a back seat in my life. I don't know what it's going to take in your life. If you're a husband and wife, like what Jason and Heather did, reading it every morning together, maybe that's what you have to do. Maybe it's reading it out loud. I know for me, if I couldn't get it in the morning or didn't get it in the morning, reading it at night sometimes isn't ideal. And you maybe fall asleep or this happens or that happens. I'm sure we've all been there in one time or another. Reading God's Word, though, out loud is a great way to stay awake and to stay engaged. And if you have that struggle, it's a practical way to stay engaged in the reading of God's Word. Now, you still have to have that conscious decision to follow along and to seek to follow the storyline or the truths that God is trying to teach us in a passage. Could be Exodus or Leviticus. And you have to stay engaged the whole time in the reading of God's Word. But where is your delight? Is it in the law of the Lord? And I have found it so important to read God's Word right away in the morning. And thankfully this year, just about, for the most part, I've been able to read God's Word and make it a priority in the morning. But it does take a little bit of sacrifice in other things. You have to go to bed at a certain time. You can't stay up super late. But where is your delight? Is it in the law of the Lord? And may I suggest tonight that if we're not spending time or not victorious in our Bible reading, there's probably a lot of other areas in our life that we're defeated in. Or if we're not victorious in our Bible reading, then we're going to start to feel the pull of the world on our lives. And we need to get in God's Word, whatever it takes. Young person, all the way up to the senior citizens in this room. We all need God's Word. And if we don't get into God's Word, we're not going to be truly happy. We're not going to be truly satisfied. And each and every day we have to be determined, God, speak to my heart. today. We have to continually remind ourselves, God, I need something from your word today. Life is full of choices. If you choose to delight in God's word and meditate in his word day and night, you won't have time for sitting in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, or walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, and sitting in the seat of the scornful. Because you'll be delighting in God's word. And that is all you will care about. And may we truly delight in God's word today and tonight. And it's just maybe a reminder, a month into, on February 1st, a month into this year, how is our Bible reading coming along? Maybe as a way of accountability, you need to find someone tonight to stay accountable with. You might say, well, I've been great in my Bible reading. Wonderful. Maybe find someone else that you can be an encouragement to. What God might be taking you a step deeper into reading God's Word, into meditating on God's Word. Don't stay idle. Always seek to be growing. But tonight, let us choose to delight in God's Word and choose to meditate on His Word. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the simple truths of your Word. Help each one of us this evening, this year, to delight in your Word and to meditate day and night on your Word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.